Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name is Christian Warren. Alongside me is
Girlfest.
Estrogen.
Yeah. Total Girlfest, Jane Fawcett and Sarah Wells. And it is the day after the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Day after.
Yeah, there's like a petition going around that this should be a holiday, like the day after the Super Bowl should be a holiday. I think people kind of binge on food and
is that why I'm so tired today?
Could be. I mean, did you have a lot of carbs yesterday?
Yeah, probably my first share and, you know, enough to feed an obese child like tribe.
So then potentially that would be why you're tired today.
A tribe of obese children.
Yeah, I ate enough to feed them, I'm sure. Yeah, so if that...
You got a mama burden?
That all kind of makes sense now, so...
Yeah. Did you guys have a good time watching the Super Bowl?
Yeah, it was great. I saw Jane for a little while.
Yeah. And then I went to my second party.
I feel bad for the 49er fans out there, but it was a fun game. I did not like this year's commercials. I thought they weren't, like, there was no funny to them.
Some of them are okay. I like the Taco Bell commercial with the old people.
Oh, the Taco Bell one
was
great.
That was funny.
And the fun We Are Young in Spanish.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah. That was great.
That was really
creative.
That
was a lot of fun.
The Jeep commercial about the troops for sure got teary-eyed.
Anything military just sets me over the top.
Yep.
Just makes me so sad.
And everyone kept talking about the GoDaddy commercial with
that
the making out.
That was absolutely disgusting.
Disgusting.
I think here's the question, though, is if it would have been a really attractive guy, would it have been as disgusting?
Yeah, when you like, it's the sound. Hear people making out, it's gross.
Sure. We made a joke while we were watching the Super Bowl, like, that guy... Best day of his life.
Oh, right?
Yeah. Ever.
Yeah. How'd they pick that guy? I just wonder.
I think
we
it was
want
a casting
the nerdiest guy we could ever find.
Sure. Yeah, could be. Dave just chimed in.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
If you didn't hear that, Dave just chimed in. Like
I
God.
We all just got a little thrown off.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It was the voice of
and
God.
And Dave said... the kid probably got paid a lot to do it.
Sure. Really the best day of his life.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Or
he paid them is what Dave is saying.
He tried to pay them. Okay. Well, it was a good day. It was fun. We had pizza. We had a vegetarian Super Bowl.
Oh, so. We had I had a game day party. So I didn't have it. My friends did. So we had bear stew, deer stew, and fried dove, all killed by my friend's husband.
Yeah.
So the bear tasted like a peppery sausage, and the deer tasted like something greasy. I don't know.
Mm.
And the dove was fine. Jane, did you have any of it?
I had a bite of the bear and the deer. I had no dove.
Yeah, let's move on.
Oh, Christian's getting mad. Oh, God. Extreme steam.
We got a good episode for you guys today. We are going to interview a friend of all of ours. His name is Bo Williamson. And
Dave's roommate.
Dave's roommate for the last probably 2 months, 3 months maybe?
Longer, since October.
Oh, since October. So, Bo is a leader in junior high. We're going to chat with him about junior high group, but also his life as a farmer, sort of a farmer. Not really a farmer. He sells
farm supplies. He's in agriculture.
Bo's a really nice guy.
He supports.
Bro's a really nice guy.
Yeah.
Bo educated me on Prop 37.
Yeah.
Yes. And... He also has been the victim of a TP-er who will rename nameless,
yes.
Jane Fawcett and Layla Granada, and a number of doorbell ditches.
And
oh, yeah, that happens often.
Often.
Bo, he'll be in here during the interview segment. We'll also walk through Numbers and Deuteronomy and talk about a little sermon discussion with that. And continue on in the Generation series. We'll close out the show, but our music this week is Bo is the kind of guy that you would expect whose name is Bo, and what he looks like and dresses like. That's probably what you're...
He doesn't dress like a cowboy all the time.
He wears boots.
I've
on
always
occasion.
Imagined someone with the name Bo as like a bro, not like a cowboy.
Oh.
Not me.
Yeah.
Maybe because I knew
someone
Bo
named
in high
TJ.
School.
That thing, that's
a bro.
I'm just kidding. So Bo loves country music, loves country stuff. And so Jane picked out this week's music, and it should be some good stuff. Just random. It's all random country.
Random country.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll have some lively discussion with Bo about all fun things. Bo and I have had very, I would say, healthy conversations about
conflict. You mean
about what?
I don't think it's conflict. I think Bo and I have a mutual agreement. We agree to disagree.
You are very different opinions.
Yes.
Like,
so
with like prop
farming
30,
and okay. animals mm-hmm. and all the
proper
above.
Treatment of animals.
So yeah.
Oh, stuff. Bo yeah,
and
sure.
I, Bo and I land on two different
planets.
Planets. But what I appreciate about Bo is that he is not a persister when it comes to the issue. I think he's very understanding. He hears you out. He listens. And I did the same, and we walked away going, well, I appreciate you. And I don't like typically when a farmer and a vegetarian get together, it doesn't mesh very well. And Bo is the kind of guy that is like, we walked away going, well, that was a great conversation. I came home and I said, wow, like Lacey, Bo's like a great guy to talk to about this stuff. So it was
Bo good. is also going to be our future president one day. I'm sure of it.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Bo Williamson, 2000, whatever.
That should be our picture today with him.
Yeah.
Like his campaign poster.
Well, stay tuned for that. And up next, we'll do some sermon discussion, enjoy some country music.
I'm the son of a third generation farmer. I've been married 10 years to the farmer's daughter. I'm a God-fearing, hard-working combine driver, hogging up the road on my plower, chugga-lugga-lugging 5 miles an hour on my international harvester. 3 miles of cars laying on. Like a big parade of late to work, road rage jerks shouting obscene words, flipping me the bird.
You ever seen a mezuzah? You'll find it at every doorway, to every home, to every room in Israel. It's a little box where they put a scroll with words from the Torah, maybe the Shema, maybe other, and it's at the doorpost of your home. Just to remind you, we are a people of God. We worship God. We think about God. Our hearts are God's. We are all for God. We talk about God. We teach our children about God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might. We love God. The purpose that God is trying to bring out in Numbers and Deuteronomy is love God with everything. That your entire life is marked by a devotion to God, that everything about you oozes God. In some ways, I think the people of Israel get it where we don't.
That was a clip from this past week's sermon on Numbers and Deuteronomy. And one of the things that we were kind of discussing off air was this was a lot in one sermon. And to sum up the book of Numbers and Deuteronomy in one sermon was difficult. And so Brad almost like sectioned it off during the middle of his sermon. Like he kind of went, here's Numbers. Okay, let's push that book aside. Now let's do Deuteronomy. Did you guys feel that at all?
I feel like he went more in depth on Numbers than he did Deuteronomy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the theme that I felt like he pulled out of it was like that clip right there was
from Deuteronomy.
From Deuteronomy. And the totally. Book of Numbers was really if you've ever heard the sermon by Mike called The God of Just Enough.
Very similar
to the fact of, and Sarah, you could help me with this, but in Israel, there's like four different terms for the desert, And basically these people that are now out of Egypt, out of slavery, are in what we would not really know of in the United States, maybe other than like a Death Valley or something like that, but they're in the nothingness. The desert equals nothing. And
no tree, maybe nothing. A rock here or there, but
not even water.
Yeah.
You know, and God, they ultimately have to rely completely on God. And they, you know, Brad, if you ever watch those, what are those things called that they do like Wednesday before the sermon? Like,
oh, thoughts on the study.
Thoughts on the study. Yeah. Like one of the things, Brad, he says, we at the Well have started saying this over the last 2 years, but it, you know, it was easy to get
the people out of Egypt, but not Egypt out of the people.
Yeah. And that was kind of the theme of the first section of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And, Numbers, Brad mentioned it's one of his favorite books of the Bible. After going to Israel, I think I like Numbers a lot more.
Yeah, because you could picture it and like feel it and know, yeah.
But Numbers is really the part of the Bible where you get the sense that these people, they just don't get it, you know? And if you read through the book of Numbers, and even if you look at the Bible charts, it's just chapter after chapter of a group of people just not understanding that God is in control and that God is going to take care of them. And
even though God's way sometimes is harder, or it seems harder, like it really is the best.
But I have to admit, like, my own sin is like, if God said to me, it's a different time and age, but God said to me, hey, you're going to eat this thing for the rest of your life. There's probably going to be a day that I grumble and complain and go, God, I want what I had back in Egypt, because at least I wasn't having to eat this like piece of bread that probably tastes pretty bland.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Numbers is tough because I feel like it's fair because it's God, but it feels unfair.
It's fair because it's God, but you can understand where the Israelites are coming from because we're human too.
Right. And many people die for not like obeying God, you know?
It's drastic.
Yeah, I had never heard the statistic of every 20 minutes somebody died.
Yeah.
That was crazy, right?
What's the death rate here? Isn't it once every...
Yeah, but it to be in such close connection with them.
Yeah, and you probably know them. I mean, they're
ours is like around the world, but theirs is in a... What mile radius?
10 square mile.
Yeah. That would be crazy.
It's totally. And I just think that honestly, like you hear, and we haven't heard about him yet, but like Caleb and Joshua, you know?
Oh, he mentioned them.
Yeah, we talked about
Joshua. Yeah, but we haven't we're going to go through Joshua in the book of Joshua. We're going to go through Caleb and...
In the book of Caleb.
No. I think Brad said we're going to talk about him in the book of Judges. But for me, I just was kind of like, I feel like I would have been one of the first people dead, you know? And that's just admitting my own. I think in today's society, it's sometimes hard for me to trust that God's going to take care of me or whatever. And I know these people just witnessed like the craziest miracle of all time. But for me to go, okay, God, whatever, I'm going to trust you. That's very hard.
I've had a hard time like reading through some of the Old Testament stuff because God is so harsh with his people. And I don't know if I talked about this before. Stop me if I did, but,
stop.
Okay. God is so harsh with his people. And I'm reading it thinking like, this isn't the God that I serve. Like he doesn't kill me cause I have a bad attitude. He doesn't like what I was having a really hard time making that connection. Or even a hard time believing that this is the God that I serve. And then it occurred to me, that the whole, he gives the law to the proud, grace to the humble, like the people who he killed on the spot. I wonder if their hearts were like hard towards God and not wanting to like obey him, and the people who he spared. Cause I'm sure every one of the Israelites grumbled at one point, you know, maybe those are the ones who were like soft or like, you know, humble before the Lord. And that's why he didn't kill them.
Yeah. But he killed his son for us.
Well, yeah. Right. I know.
So
our
death has already been.
Yeah. I know. But he's not like dealing harshly with us because we have a bad attitude. You know what I mean?
I think, not as harshly as taking our lives, but I think in some ways that when he holds out his best for us, like,
what do you mean?
Letting us have our way in some circumstances and that's not his best for us.
Yeah.
I think in that way, it's kind of a way to show you that he has something better planned or whatever. I mean, I get it. I would be grumbling too, but.
I don't know if God does like, this is my opinion. I don't know if God nowadays, disobeying God, I don't think God gives us consequences. I think God maybe just allows sin to take its course. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Like natural consequences.
Yeah. It's a natural consequence of sin, and it has nothing to do with God one way or the other. You know, I have a hard time, and this is maybe a different subject, but people always say like, God, he's got a plan every step of the way. Everything's in part of God's plan. I'm like, yeah, I don't know if everything's part of God's plan in the sense of like, if I'm a murderer and I kill somebody, like, I don't know if that was God's plan for me to kill that person.
Yeah.
I think that's a natural consequence of sin.
Mm-hmm. What about the discipline passages? Like, what is God's discipline? Do you think natural consequences are this, like, go hand in hand with God's discipline?
Yeah, I think so. I think we, in some senses, the God giving us a discipline in whatever area, that comes, yeah, right hand in hand with the natural consequences that come with sin. I don't know. You see a different side of God. Like, God's not striking anybody down nowadays, at least in my opinion.
Or maybe he is, and we just don't see it that, or we don't know.
Yeah, maybe we don't know. And yeah.
Cause I have a hard time figuring out what, I know we're not supposed to know this, so that's probably why I've never been able to figure out, but like the difference between what God allows and then what God plans and makes happen, you know, cause see, there's things in our life that like he made that happen. Or then there's stuff like a, you know, a murder or whatever. He allowed that to happen. He, you know, so anyways,
I guess for me, like, it's just numbers is a tough,
yeah, bring it back to numbers.
Well, it really is, because it you just place yourself in those shoes and you're like, on a bad day, that golden calf might not look so bad. You know what I mean? And we do that nowadays.
Oh, totally.
We turn to golden calves all the time. So
for sure.
Who are we to read and go, dude, these people in numbers are, they're idiots. God totally did all this stuff for them. It's like, yeah, right. Like, I'm the same way. I'd be the first one in line for the golden calf, you know, because that for 40 years, it's so hard to keep your attention on God, yet God is constantly saying to them, like, trust me, trust me, trust me. Mm-hmm. And I just imagine being in Moses' shoes, just like, that's brutal.
Must have had ulcers.
How about when he got angry and struck the rock and then he wasn't allowed into the promised land?
Ugh. Yeah, it's brutal.
Could you imagine like one screw up and you're toast? I couldn't imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be so frustrated. But it's cool how at the end of everything, like, he's able to kind of get a little peek. I mean, he's not obviously not allowed in, but
I wish we knew what his attitude was after God said, no, you're not going in. Like, did he go, no, man? Or was he like, okay, no, you're right. I shouldn't have done that. Or I want to know what that conversation was like afterwards.
Oh, so crazy. I couldn't imagine.
Yeah. And then we kind of moved into Deuteronomy, and you guys were kind of, you hear more about Moses' death and stuff in Deuteronomy. Mm-hmm. But one of the themes that Brad brought out in the end was this idea of the Shema, which is something that, as you could hear in the intro here, is basically there are these things that hang on a lot of Jewish homes, and you've probably seen them if you have a friend who's Jewish. I don't know of a huge Jewish culture in like Fresno. But like San Francisco, there's some Jewish people, New York, large Jewish population. And they have these things, mezuzahs, hanging on their doors. And and inside of them is like a little scroll rolled up that's essentially the Shema. And it's that passage in Deuteronomy that's basically saying like, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And it's just this pointing back to like, remember God, remember who God is, and like, God should be number one. What is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And so I think that's the theme of kind of both the books, but it really comes to light in Deuteronomy. And I think that going back to our discussion, it is so difficult if you're just in that moment and you're frustrated or whatever to just remember God, and God got you through all this, and God is in charge. And first and greatest commandment, love the Lord your God. It's like, I can imagine it being tough to love God if you're waking up with the same meal for 40 years.
And they didn't have the Holy Spirit in them to like encourage them. And like, they had to just follow whatever Moses said.
Right.
And so that must have been harder too.
And how funny when they were grumbling about the manna that they were given, and then God gives them was it quail? Wait, what was the?
Quail is a bird.
I know. What bird did he give them? That food.
Yeah. Quail.
Quail.
I think it's quail.
Yeah.
Christian, you made me look dumb. When he gives them that, and then it says that they ate it until it came out of their noses. So kind of like a consequence of sin of like, okay, you're not trusting me because I am giving you what you need by providing manna, but you asked for this, I'm going to give it to you, and now you're going to, like, it's going to be too much for you.
I feel like he does that to us all the time.
Totally.
Oh, you want this? Go for it. And then right after, we're like, oh.
You regret it immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that it's just such a good reminder to go, we kind of get lost in the shuffle in the Bible of like, what are the do's and the don'ts of the Bible? What are the like, oh, I can't do that. And we've had multiple discussions on here about discernment and last week, like sacrifice and all these kind of things. But we forget something that's major theme in both the Old and New Testament and is really kind of the, footprint's probably a good word, of kind of the Jewish culture, which is this, don't forget about God and don't forget about what God has done. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and let that be kind of the way that you live your life. And I think it goes back to the anatomy of a disciple, which Brad didn't necessarily mention, but the center of the anatomy of a disciple is humble submission. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that is the center of what Jesus is even trying to get out of going, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Center of Deuteronomy, love the Lord your God with all your heart. This is what's going to get you guys through. Mm-hmm. This is what's going to get you through these 40 years. If you just love God, and out of that, everything else is going to flow.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a good reminder for me. I have a mezuzah on my door, and I know I'm not Jewish, but I do. It's a great reminder every time I leave my house, except when I get in my car, I almost immediately forget about it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's interesting though. Like, I have a friend who lives in San Francisco who's, she's Jewish, and her family has these all over her house and all the doorways. It's not just the front door. It's every doorway in their house. And I brought them back one from Israel, and it was as if like I had got them the greatest gift of
all. That's cool.
You know, and it's because they really, really cherish these mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. And there is a deep, like, they notice it on the door. They remember, and they have this almost deep relationship with God in the Old Testament. I think there's a disconnect, obviously, when it comes to the New Testament. But this idea, and in Israel, Sarah, you, did you guys have to say the Shema a lot?
Yeah.
So like you basically say the Shema, but you say it in Hebrew mm-hmm. when you're in Israel. And I remember saying it to them and they were like, just floored by it. And it's like, wow, that doesn't mean anything to me,
mm-hmm.
you know, but to them, it's like, that is our culture. That is who mm-hmm. we are. That is who these people that came out of Egypt. And it's just a remembrance of everything for them. And so I think we miss a little bit of that being from the United States. It's not ingrained in our culture or whatever that may be.
Yeah.
But all in all, it's a good sermon. I think I would have liked to have two separate things.
Yeah, he kind of spoke really fast and covered a lot of material.
Yeah.
There was a lot in there.
I came to church at the 5 and the 7 last night. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, you didn't hear anything. I feel like I most enjoyed the end was kind of the same as when he went through Leviticus, how at the end he kind of gives that like push. And I feel like Sunday sermon, his end point of love God, love God, love God, love God was, I feel like it like made me like burn inside. I don't know. Like just
like lit a fire,
lit the passion, you know, of like, yes, this is what I'm called to do. This is how I'm.
Jane's chair just gave out on her.
I hit the thing to lower it on accident with my leg. What was I saying?
It gave you
love
a passion God, inside.
Yeah, and it's like a good reminder of that is how we're called to live, and that's the only way that we're called to live is to love God.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Just real quick, Sarah.
Yeah.
If Brad just started a sermon at minute 28, let's just say.
Okay.
Would you still got the same thing out of it? Or did you need the setup of Numbers and Deuteronomy?
I think the background gives you more of a picture of the God of just enough.
Sure.
Which is something that he talked about at the end.
Yeah.
So I think seeing that to the Israelites in that time that he provided just enough for them to survive, then yeah, I needed that in order to get a better picture of everything that they went through.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't think it was a waste of time.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. I think it was so quick for me that luckily I had just read through Numbers and Deuteronomy like literally a month ago, mm-hmm. where that last 7 to 8 minutes was like, oh, this brings it all together.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's one of those things where I wish that everybody in the audience would have had the same experience I did of going through the book mm-hmm. of Numbers and Deuteronomy. I think there's just so much more there, and obviously we can't cover it, you know, but it is like, I thought Leviticus was fine. Like he spent enough time overviewing what was going on, and then it was like, bam. I think it's just hard for me personally. It's not a, it's a great sermon. It's just hard for me to go through an entire book and then.
Yeah. But I think we're going to have to get used to it because
totally.
Going through an entire book of the Bible yeah. and sometimes multiple in the next year.
Yeah.
That's just going to have to be the pace. And I think that shows why, like you said, you read it before, like for us to do our homework of reading before and having those Bible charts printed
yeah,
out, we're going to get the most out of the series. Yeah. If we go along on with, go through it on our own.
Sure. I agree with that as well. So, well, Sarah, you good?
Yep, I'm good.
All right. Did I step on you when you were about to say something?
I don't know
really
what
important?
I was going to say. Okay. So then you start talking. I was like, oh yeah, I agree with you. And then I don't know.
All right. Well, up next, we got Bo Williamson on the show. And Joy Williamson?
Yeah.
Not Williams.
Williamson.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay. Enjoy some country music. Stay tuned.
I was sitting there selling turnips on a flatbed truck, crunching on a pork rind when she pulled up. She had to be thinking this is where rednecks come from. She had Hollywood written on her license plate. She was lost and looking for the interstate, needing directions, and I was a man for the job. I told her way up yonder past the caution light, there's a little country store with a no coke sign. You gotta stop it and ask Miss Bell for some of her sweet tea.
All right, we are back and we are here with Bo Williamson. Bo, is that your real name? Is that your full name?
That is my real name.
There's no like, there's no further extension of the four letters there?
Keep it simple, four letters.
No,
Bo.
It's not B-O, it's
no,
B-E-A-U.
No, it is not B-O.
It's not B-O.
It is B-E-A-U. It is the Le French way of spelling it.
Okay. Oh. When I was, when you became a junior high leader, Jeremiah was like, got this guy named Bo. And this is like, you've probably gotten this a lot, okay? But I was like, Bo Jackson? And then, have you ever gotten that?
I've gotten that. I've gotten Bojangles.
Bojangles,
Bo
yeah.
Cephas.
Okay.
Bobo
but all
the clown.
Spelled B-O. All
no,
spelled B-O.
No Bobo the Clown. Uh-uh.
First, you're here, guys. Bobo the Clown.
Now, off air, we wanted to save this for now on air, but we had asked you, have you never listened to this podcast, huh?
So I listened to it right before coming on this session here because I wanted to get a feel of what it would be like.
And what part did you listen to?
What episode?
Beginning, middle, and end. Two most recent episodes.
Okay.
Like the Cliff Notes.
It's kind of cool. I feel like I'm listening to talk radio. I wish you guys had it on a station because then I could tune
into it. Well, you could subscribe to it on your phone.
Have you ever heard of a podcast?
I just got an iPhone now.
There
you go. I got my iPhone back, so I could do that. Absolutely.
On your iTunes, yeah, you can download it.
Take you guys with me as I commute in the car.
Yep, go in your pocket.
I'm telling you, dude, once a week, you got a solid hour of entertainment, I would say.
With your best friends.
Yeah, I bet. Absolutely.
I feel like now that podcasts are getting more and more popular, like, you know, more and more people. Sarah, how many times are you going to drop your phone during this interview? Come on.
I'm going to leave it on the ground. Sorry.
Bo drove an hour to get here, and you're dropping your phone.
Don't you live like around the corner?
I actually do.
Now, a couple quick facts about Bo. Bo, your roommate is somewhere in this building, correct?
He is looking at us through a window now.
That's right. Dave Johnson is your roommate.
looking at the back of your head.
Is it your house everybody lives in, or?
Yep.
Okay, and how's it going? Is Dave a good roommate?
He's a great roommate.
Dave, plug your ears.
Is he a clean roommate?
He is, yeah.
Okay, are you a clean roommate?
I'm blessed with two solid, good dude roommates who are good, godly men, too.
I thought you lived with three guys.
Three, including me.
Oh, who's the other one? Todd Angel? Is that right?
No, it is John Andrews.
Is that Chris Angel?
John Andrews.
I thought Todd Angel was living there, too. He's not anymore? Okay, he used to be. He used to live there.
He did. Okay, good.
Yeah. Okay, so that's...
I think he's trying to save some money, so he moved home.
Oh, I wonder why. Okay,
so, now, a couple facts that maybe you don't know about Bo is a volunteer in the junior high group. Yep. Yes. Bo is currently matching a polo shirt and a polo
hat.
Yes,
I noticed that also.
I didn't know if there'd be a video portion. Sure was. We got posted on your
video. Oh, shoot. I didn't know that was going to happen.
So, no, it's all
good. I swear, first time.
What grade students do you lead in junior high?
Seventh grade boys becoming men.
That's
boys
right.
Boys to men.
Yeah, they're a pretty wild bunch, would you say?
They're rowdy. Yep, we have a good time, though.
Bo, I got to maybe try and find the photo, but your team got second place in Marco.
Oh, I have
correct?
The photo.
Ooh, yeah.
It's brutal, huh?
It was tough competition, but the other guys, they tore it up. They did a good job, but I was really proud of my guys.
Yeah, you found some suit that you were able to blow up with air, correct?
I actually had that suit since like 2005. So,
okay, yeah. It's just standard.
Standard.
Hangs
in the closet. Yeah, yep. You never know when you're going to need it.
Mm-hmm. And during the middle of the thing, you basically blew the suit up and just started doing this dance to the I'm Sexy and I Know It song, right? Is that?
No.
No, what?
Every Day I'm
Hustling? What was the song?
Yeah, Every Day I'm Shuffling.
Every Day I'm Shuffling.
Isn't that I'm Sexy and I'm...
I'm Sexy and I Know It.
I thought it was...
Maybe in their different song.
I Work Out.
Yeah. Wiggle.
So, and you did that, and it was so funny.
It was
so
hilarious. Funny. I was dying.
I heard that's going to go down to history.
You gotta check your pride to the side and just have fun up there. So.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't have pride if you're going to work with junior hires.
No way, huh?
Check it at the door.
No shame.
This is why I think...
The proudest moment, though, of that, Christian, was at the end when all of my middle school boys becoming men grabbed a girl from the audience.
Oh, yes.
Girl leaders or the girl judges.
Yeah,
Jane
I got proposed
them,
to that night.
And they proposed to him with ring pops.
Yeah.
Right. See, this is why awesome. I'm not a judge, but if I was a judge, you guys would have won for many reasons, multiple reasons. Mock Rock, if you don't know what it is, it's a lip sync competition. Mm-hmm. And here's number one reason why I think you should have won. Bo printed out, Bo took a photo of him and his life group, and he printed them in the middle of dollar bills, fake dollar bills. And instead of like George Washington's face, it was Bo and his life group's face. And so one of the songs was, you know, money, 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 money. You know that song?
Keep going.
And they passed out dollar bills with their life group's face
on
it. And I thought, attention to detail. That is why you should have won.
Uh-huh. Yep.
They were $100 bills, actually.
Yeah, that's right. Bills. It was a great Mock Rock all in all.
We had a fun time.
You do a great job with those kids, by the way.
I appreciate
that. Small amount of
encouragement. They do a great job with me, I tell you what. So it was, honestly, after that event, though, you really started to see a cool dynamic start to form in the group.
Sure.
Because we had some guys that started coming just because of Mock Rock.
Right.
And now they've continued coming to WSM because they've had fun and, you know, now we're engaging in some really real life conversations.
So. Yeah, and I think you also, outside of just being a good leader, there's a sense of, like, I've seen Bo, well, I haven't seen it, I've heard it from the back, but like Bo will pull a kid out of life group who is disrupting life group, and you'll have like a really good, like, it's not discipline. It's like encouraging discipline. Like, when you're a parent, you're going to be a grace-based parent. Like, you're going to show your kids a lot of grace. And so you're showing these junior hires like grace, but also like saying, knock it off in group. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, Bowie, this is why we brought you on, dude. Just to toot your horn here, man, because you're a great leader, seriously.
Oh, there's lots of good leaders in WSM, and I'm happy to be a part of that. So,
but this is one thing we got to chat about here, because you and I, we have some small friction, right?
Real talk. Let's do this.
I don't want to get into it, but a couple things before we get started. Cause I've avoided this. You mentioned the Super Bowl.
Love the Super Bowl.
Good times at the Super Bowl. Your roommate is big 49ers fan, so he was probably
John
crushed.
Andrews, yep, he's a big 49ers.
Dave Johnson, big 49er fan too. So.
Sorry, Dave.
But now, let me just guess your favorite commercial.
Oh, I already know, because you blasted it on Facebook today.
Was it the Dodge Farmer commercial?
Amen. God made a farmer. God made a farmer. And there was a good Got Milk commercial with Rock.
Gosh. Great commercial, but it shows the milk industry slowing down, because that's their first commercial they've ever made.
Yeah.
Which one?
Got Milk commercial. For the Super Bowl. They said that's the first time they've had to do a Super Bowl commercial.
Oh, for Super Bowl.
I didn't mean ever.
They've done a dairy commercial. They try to every year. Like last year they had one. It was about California.
Yeah. I've seen the California dairy ones.
But yeah.
I thought the commercial was really good. Mm-hmm. Like super small inside. You know, have you seen the movie Battleship by any chance?
Not.
Same director directed that commercial, so I'm just saying. Really?
Well, the Dodge commercial or the Got Milk?
The Got Milk commercial.
Okay,
let's get back to this Dodge
that
commercial.
That Dodge commercial warmed my heart.
Why did you like it?
Okay, it was a very touching poem by Paul Harvey, right? His voice,
yes.
Just very comforting, I guess.
My dad listened to Paul Harvey for years.
Yeah. And to hear him recite that and the pictures and the images and the visuals that came along with it, showing the American farmer. I mean, these are people from California to New York, you know,
sure.
It stretches across every state. And there's so much that goes into the production of our food and making safe, affordable, abundant food for everybody to enjoy on their dinner tables. And that
was
a cool
way to
highlight.
Did you feel like it was a commercial for farmers or a commercial for Dodge?
It was a commercial for Dodge, but I think it was Dodge giving a tribute to farmers.
Right.
And the cool thing is for those people that repost that commercial or one of the hashtags or something like
sure.
that. Sure. They'll donate money to the FFA, which is the National Future Farmers of America, National FFA organization.
Dodge will.
They'll donate up to $1 million to the National FFA organization to be distributed to youth development, agriculture, education.
Wow, they did not explain that in
doing
the commercial.
A lot of good things. So yeah, if you go on their site and
insider
you can
trading
find
right
that.
Here.
Now, did you know about this commercial before yesterday?
I had no idea.
Okay,
no idea,
so
but I got a blast email from a bunch of people about it. And on top of that, they're also donating money to like a hunger movement. So FFA is doing this feed the world kind of thing, starting at home.
Okay,
so local communities helping try to increase the inventory and food banks and getting food into hungry people's bellies.
So see, there's some good coming from that commercial, but
absolutely.
That was never explained in the commercial. You had to now explain it to us.
Yeah.
Now,
they're humble.
So at the end of that commercial, there was an FFA emblem.
I did see that. Yes.
And when I saw that, I jumped out of my head. It was probably the most exciting moment for me in this.
Now,
I'm a big advocate for FFA and agriculture, as you know.
I do know. Now, did the whole God made a farmer on the eighth day thing, that you're good with that?
He wasn't saying it was scripture. It was a poem.
Sure.
And it's, you know, something totally out of context of the Bible, obviously. I think it was a touching poem just talking about, you
sure.
know, God made a farmer and he continues to work the soil so that, you know, you and me can have food stocked in our fridge and
I couldn't tell.
On their plates.
I think Brad posted a Facebook and he said on the eighth day, God. I couldn't tell if Brad was joking or if he was being like, was he joking?
I don't know. I saw that too and I wondered also.
It was kind of a weird.
Brad's now a farmer too, isn't
no,
he?
No, I know Brad's.
Yeah, he is.
Brad's all about it. But it was like, I couldn't tell if Brad was saying like a joke is like, on the eighth day, God made a farmer. Hey, that's not real. Or was he saying
he's like, shoot, I need to redo my Genesis talk.
This whole generation series is screwed up now.
Yeah. Start over.
Now, back to the farming, because obviously you have a passion about it.
Love it.
How'd you get started? What's the drive? Yeah. Were you involved in FFA as a high school kid or?
I was. I was involved in 4-H before that too.
Okay.
Then when I got
in Fresno?
High school, Clovis.
Okay.
Yep. So we
Gettysburg Generals.
Gettysburg, that's right.
Me and Bo went to elementary school together.
That's right.
All right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Go Generals.
Go Generals.
Shout out.
So you guys, you were involved in that for most of all your junior high and high school.
Yeah, I grew up in agriculture. My dad is an animal science professor at Fresno State, and we grew up on a couple of acres that was kind of an old McDonald had a farm, a little bit of everything, a whole lot of nothing kind of thing. Animals, we had some fruit trees, but all kind of projects for me and my sisters. And, you know, just growing up in the agricultural lifestyle, there's a lot of lessons that can be learned in the dirt that can't be learned indoors.
And your specific job, correct me if I'm wrong, is you provide some form, you're almost like a medical, like a pharmaceutical salesman, but not for the farmers, but you're a pharmaceutical salesman for the animals.
So, yeah, I work for a pharmaceutical company.
Right.
And it's called
Big Pharma.
Eli Lilly. Yeah, Big Pharma. Eli Lilly and Company. And they have an animal health company called Elanco. And what Elanco does is they basically provide products, tools, and solutions and services to a number of farmers, but I focus on dairymen specifically to help them improve their efficiencies, their productivity, their cow health, their cow comfortability, and, you know, the overall affordability, safety, and abundance of the food that they produce. So it's cool because, you know, if you guys have ever eaten a dairy product of some sort, then you've interacted with something that we've helped farmers provide for you. And,
sure,
you know, that's what I really enjoy about it is we get to be a part of making food for people around the world to keep their dinner plates stocked.
Do you work with producers at all? Or
I do. So, okay. Yeah, I work with producers.
So Scott Shahadi, who's one of our elders,
yeah,
is, I don't know if he's the CEO, but I...
Oh, you're talking producers at the
milk
brand.
Company.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about
Sorry.
Dairy cow
producers.
But yeah.
Okay.
I know Scott and,
okay,
and have worked with producers as well. They got a good brand there for
now,
sure.
Now, Bo and I don't know, we met probably 6 months ago, right? And this was before the election.
Yeah, about 6 months.
Because you came in September-esque, October, mm-hmm, and we were chatting about Prop 37. And Bo and I have a good, I think, good vibe going because, Bo, I need to get on a farm. I want to go with you.
Yeah, we need to.
Out to a farm.
Ride along onto a farm.
Ride along.
I'm serious.
Mm-hmm. Let's do a spoutcast from a farm.
Yes, 100th episode.
Now,
wait,
still,
do you know that I'm obsessed with cows?
I didn't know this. Well, we gotta.
She loves cows.
Feed that fire.
Now, Bo, you're willing to take me out on the farm with you, correct?
Absolutely.
Us.
You could take the whole. Well, but I really want to get an in-depth side of it.
Yep.
Okay. We're just gonna be a
whoever
distraction.
Whoever wants to come see agriculture,
yeah,
they just have to let me know. I'd be happy to show them.
Now. I will only say this on the Spoutcast because it's good for the entertainment of the air. But if I do a farm thing with you, will you do a farm thing with me?
Absolutely.
Oh,
where
gosh,
would you take
him? Take him to that animal place, the endangered animal place.
You'll go with me to a farm, and I'll take you. I'll go with you to a farm.
Yeah.
What absolutely. Farm are you taking him to?
I would want to
the
take
one
you to
that
a place
he's blasting
called the Gentle
on Instagram.
Barn.
The Gentle Barn.
There he goes, laughs about it.
It just sounds funny.
So, would you do it though? We'll make it. If I go with you, you'll go with me.
Absolutely.
All right.
What's this Gentle Barn
what
about?
Is the Gentle
you
barn?
Didn't see when he posted it all over Instagram.
I thought you.
I posted one photo.
Okay.
Is this where you and Lacey went and like hugged the cows
for your anniversary?
Stuff?
Yes. This is where Lacey and I went.
Okay.
It was
where
a
is
magical
it?
Experience.
Magical.
Where what is it?
Where is Gentle Barn?
It's probably like 2.5 hours away. It's right near.
Jeez, bonding time.
I like Bo.
Like car games.
2.5 hours, Bo. That'd be great conversation.
You'll throw Joey Parker in there, and you'll be one happy guy.
I would be.
People say Joey Parker looks like my twin for some reason.
Yeah, you guys look a lot alike.
It's in Valencia. Yeah. It's near
so
he's Magic
sure.
Mountain.
There you go.
Nice
oh, Magic Mountain?
Yeah.
We'll make a day out
but
of
But you
it.
Probably have farmers that far away. Do you ever go that far driving?
I personally don't.
Okay, that's another section of...
So if there's a dairy cow somewhere in America, we interact with those farmers. For
gotcha.
Sure.
And you love your job.
Love my job, yeah.
Now let's talk about the politics because Jane really thinks you're going to be president one day. Is that a drive?
Yeah, you could be president one day.
Do you want to be?
I don't know. I mean, I think it'd be cool, and I think, you know, you need good people in there. And so if I have the honor or privilege of.
Which party being would you go on?
Oh, don't.
Well, I'm just going to tell you. I'm just kidding. I'm an open book. I lean more conservatively, so on the Republican side, but
you
I'm
are
not,
wearing blue.
I'm not. What's that?
You are wearing blue.
I'm wearing blue. Uh-huh. But I'm not one of those people who it's, just because the Republican Party says you got to vote this way.
Totally.
That means you got to vote this way. I'm all for the best solution for the greater good, not for, you know,
if what's you go for president,
just the party.
You got my vote. Okay.
I appreciate that. Thank
because
you. That's like way, way far off. And I don't even know if that's what God wants for me. So,
well, yeah, but she never.
Don't you have to be 35?
Yeah. Yeah. So I got a long ways away.
You're
I
what?
Could run for Congress though, probably already.
Yeah.
You should run for Congress. The Why don't you run to be the mayor of Clovis?
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
Does Clovis have a mayor?
I don't know.
I think
they
have a council.
They do have a mayor.
Who is it?
It must be new.
It it used to be Nathan Matt. Massey,
it doesn't matter who it is
but
because we want
not
we
Bo.
Want it's not Bo.
Right.
Right. He's not important because he's not Bo.
Bo, if a lot of people probably don't know who you are or whatnot, but what campus do you go to normally on a Sunday?
Usually go to North Campus.
North Campus.
I like to go to the 5 o'clock service.
Okay. If you're involved in junior high or go to the 5 o'clock service, Bo is wearing the cowboy boots, but then again, a lot of people wear the cowboy boots. But Bo is a great guy, super nice guy, and I love the passion that you have for your job. That's something that I think is rare in today's world, and you are a passionate guy, and I appreciate that about you, Bo.
He also has really great trees to teepee.
Oh, yeah. Jane has teepeed my house on one occasion.
Now, who had to clean that up?
Actually, Dave Johnson.
That's
what
that's the word on the street.
There were three broomsticks, a roll of duct tape, and a trash bag involved. So,
how old are you?
26.
How old are you?
28.
We're still teepeeing, huh?
And we're
I haven't. We
not
just
yet.
Up, but don't worry, there's a storm coming.
Ooh. All right, let's.
But I would say, hey, to your comment about the agricultural deal. If anybody listening ever wants to engage in where their food comes from and why we do what we do in agriculture, if they want to know that, get in touch with somebody at the well and they'll get in touch with me. Or
I have Bo's business card.
Christian has my business.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Elanco or whatever.
Bo educated me on Prop 37 while I was wearing a turkey costume on Halloween.
This is true. This is absolutely true. And I was dressed up as a cowboy, actually.
Oh,
great.
You don't remember
were you
that?
A turkey farmer?
Oh, my goodness.
Yep. All right. Well, hey, Bo, I appreciate you stopping by. And hopefully, Bo is just a great guy. And if you don't get a chance to ever meet him, he is a guy that just makes you feel good about yourself. So I appreciate you a lot, Bo. Seriously, you're great. You are a great WSM leader. And those kids, young kids, are I think very blessed to have you as their leader. So,
Christian, I've never seen you so complimentary to someone.
I paid him before.
No, here's the deal.
I want to come be interviewed.
Bo is a legit guy. And I say that in the sense of it's very few people where I'm like, I really like that person.
That's true.
And Bo is the kind of guy where I go, I really like that person. And I like somebody who easily has the toughest life group in all of WSM. And he does a great job with them. And he has six kids that are all have ADD, I'm pretty sure. And they're nuts. I hear
all junior high boys have ADD.
I hear the tennis balls flying against the walls in your room. And I'm like, Bo is a saint. He really is. And I appreciate you, dude. Well, up next, we'll close out the show and enjoy some more country music in honor of Bo being on the show.
Well, thank you, guys. Thanks for letting me spout it off with you here.
Whoa. Already picking up the lingo.
Hopefully, you'll be a listener after this. You know, none of this.
A subscriber.
Maybe. Yeah. Now you got an iPhone. You're good to go, dude.
There you go.
We'll set you up before you leave.
All right. Stay tuned for some
country music.
And country music.
I've got some big news. The bank finally came through, and I'm holding the keys to a brand new Chevrolet. Have you been outside? It sure is a nice night.
How about a little test drive down by the lake? There's a place I know about where the dirt road runs out. We can try out the four-wheel drive. Come on now, what do you say? Girl, I can hardly wait to get a little mud on the tire.
All right, we are back, and as we joke every week, we have no closing announcements.
Nope, we don't. But do we? Really? We might. So we do sometimes.
Well, this is what one thing I was going to say is Jane mentioned earlier in the sermon discussion about the Bible charts, and really the only place you can get the Bible charts are on the app. You can get them on the website, but it's super easy to get it on your phone right off of the Well app.
Yeah, if you click the...
Or you can subscribe and get them weekly into your email.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Dang, Sarah. Why don't you tell us about it?
Jeez,
well,
Sarah.
I'm the Lifers administrator, I can add you easily.
So what do I have to do if I want to get these charts sent to me on Tuesday?
Uh-huh. Go to the website and click on Life Groups.
Okay.
And then Life Group Guide.
Okay.
And then subscribe via email, and you will get a Life Group Guide and the chart.
Wow, impressive. Whoa. Now, when does that come to my email box?
Mondays.
Wow. So we're on top of it.
Yeah. Questioning everything I just said to you because your response was so surprising.
Tell.
So,
this is a good and a bad sign. The Well is doing really good stuff for the people.
Not for the staff.
The staff has no clue about it.
No. Or Sarah's really wrong. I mean, this is what I'm questioning because I know you can get Life Group Guide every week Mondays. Now I'm just wondering if the chart isn't, but I don't know why the chart wouldn't be attached. I think
attached.
It is. Attached. And if not, I'll make sure it's attached from here.
If not, you can just get it on the app.
Yeah, easy.
You know, now that you mentioned that, Sarah, one of the cool things about the Life Group Guides is that the Life Group Guides is pulling out about one chapter from the sermons that we've read, like the Leviticus, they pulled out chapter 15 on kind of the sacrifices. And it was just a great thing to go, well, I don't want to read the whole book of Leviticus, but here's one chapter to pull out and read through. If you don't know about those, they're great. You don't have to be in a life group to read through the Life Group Guide. This can be your life group.
This is our life group. And people listen. This is their life group too. But something else that's really cool about the Life Group Guide that's different than past Life Group Guides is that they show you how to teach yourself through the Bible. Like kind of, we're trying to equip our people to be self-feeders. Mm-hmm. So this will actually show you how to have a Bible study, like how to study words and how to study chapters and stuff. So it's really good.
See, we have announcements.
We are just making disciples all over the place.
Yep.
Well, this was a fun show, and we hope you guys will check us out on Instagram and Facebook. I feel like everybody's just moved to Instagram. Instagram is kind of the thing.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Vine?
No.
I heard of it,
never
but I don't
Vine?
Know what
no.
it is.
No. What is
it?
It's
a new cool thing.
What is it?
What is
it's
it?
It's like, this is my prediction. 6 months from now,
no,
it's the new Twitter
another
slash Instagram.
One?
It's basically a video service, but it's videos on a loop. So it's essentially like a group of pictures. Like I'll do a Vine of the Spoutcast here when at the end, and I'll post it, and maybe I'll post it on our Facebook page.
So then we can link to it. Well,
then you can see it. It's my personal account.
It's a video?
Yeah, I'll have to explain it. But Vine's pretty cool. Like it really is. It's like a looped video.
Does it like put music behind it and everything, make it super cheesy?
No, it's just whatever audio's in the background. But I'll try to explain it. Maybe we'll do that. Maybe that'll be the cool thing after we do our fun Instagram with the Spoutcast. Maybe we have a Vine account with
Dang.
And we'll be ahead
early
of the curve.
Adopters.
We gotta be early. Yeah. That's what's gonna blow us up, guys. That's what's
we've been waiting listens. For it. Yeah. Ever, forever.
All right, this is the Spout.
And we're out.
If we roll down streets of fire, would you hold on to me tighter as the summer sun got higher? If we roll from town to town and never shut
put it down. Would you go with me if we were lost in fields of clover?